You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. This is John Rabin. And this is episode 117. One seven? Yeah. Recorded this day, Wednesday, November 23rd, 2020. I'm all alone in my place with the animals, and for some reason, I may just have to shut the door, even though I'm alone, because the dog is just staring out the door like something's going on. What's going on? There's nothing. No. There's nothing. Of course there's nothing. Why do I don't understand why you can't really rely on animals for because they don't react like on a level of threat. Like you can't tell at what point. Who was it? I think it was an old Paula Poundstone bit about her cats. About when they all like look up at once in the middle of the night, and it's like it's either like somebody coming in to murder her or like a butterfly, like it doesn't matter, or like a moth, like there's no level. Yeah, the animals are confusing. They don't help. Well, it's been a week once again. It's another week. I don't know what's going on with you. Today, my fiance took a spa day. And so we sent her away to a place. We sent her away. This sounds like it's code for she's in an insane asylum. But she literally went someplace that's a spa. It's like, I don't know, hot tub massaged and classes and stuff. Like an all-day thing that... You know, she was very excited about and was like, I wish you could go with me. And I'm like, I don't. It sounds great for you. Like, what would be a spa? It's a spa day for me. I don't know. I'd have to have, like, a spa day for me would have to be, like, it would have to start with an iced coffee tasting, all right, where we just drink cold brew for an hour, tasting the, you know, maybe a class on how to perfect it at home, but here's some different levels. Do that for an hour, right? Then we go to a burrito tasting, where you're fed. A brick of a burrito, and then followed by a power nap. So it'd be immediately power nap after the burrito eating, because that's just what happens when you eat a burrito the size of a loaf of bread. It's like a loaf of bread filled with taco meat, right? And cheese. So then you go to sleep, so it's power nap. Then after the power nap, I think I'd have a class, like a tutorial, where a fantasy football expert analyzes my current teams based on strengths and weaknesses and what I should do rest of season. That would be an amazing hour. And then another nap, for real. And then after that, for the remainder of the day, it would be a free time to test new video games that you don't own on different consoles and places that you don't have. So if you have an Xbox, let's try out the PlayStation, the Nintendo Switch. Although if you're an adult, you probably won't go Switch. That seems like more... for the youngins, but And then that would be my spa day. That sounds perfect. I would love something like that. Very customized. There's no way you could do that. There's nowhere that exists in that order. Like, you know, it should. It really should. I wonder how much you could make. I wonder how much you could get to charge people to do a fantasy football seminar, you know, coffee tasting, nap, you know, let's eat a burrito, have another nap, and then play video games. It sounds like that would make so much goddamn money. Like, there's so many man-child out there. Man-children? There's so many men-children. Is that... How do you say man-child in plural? Is it men-children? There's so many men-children out there that would appease to be just like, yay, this is my day camp. Like, it would be the best. How does that not exist? It totally should. Totally should exist. Okay, so today is... I'm going to call today a heavy sigh day. Because I've just had several things happen... Several things that I've looked at or have happened or I've read that have just made me go multiple times. So since I don't have anything else planned today, I think I'll just go into those because it'll make me feel better. And I think, and hopefully making fun of it to you will make you go, yeah, that's pretty dumb. And then we'll, you know, it's like you can vicariously vent through me, maybe. If it comes off negative, then that's the thing, is that nobody listens to me because they're looking for positivity. Like, I tend to be kind of a, you know I'm talking shit, and you find it amusing that I talk shit, and occasionally I'm helpful. I'm unintentionally helpful and I'm amusing. Maybe that should be the tagline for, like, you know, critics say the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast is unintentionally helpful and amusing. So, all right. Heavy side A, guys. Number one, I had to buy new vape fluid. That's right. I admit it. I vape. It's for those people who have recently started listening to my podcast and maybe haven't gone back all the way. And if you haven't, I get it. But I'm a vape person. It's not, I'm an ex-smoker. That is a, you know, that's addicted to nicotine and has a mouth fetish thing. So this makes sense. It fits perfectly. Like I've mentioned this before on this podcast, that you can definitely tell the difference between somebody who's, you know, a vape hobbyist. It's like, look at my overcompensating billows of smoke. Look at this big thing I've got in my hand that I'm just like, you know, oh, look, I'm I don't know. You know, there's that, but mine I really just thank you, pretend cigarette. So I went to get my normal vape fluid that I get just to refill, but apparently the FDA has passed new regulation that's kind of fucked over the little guy. Like, those independent shops have to have a certain license in order to mix their own. You have to have this bigger license that costs like a lot, like hundreds of thousands of dollars or something. I don't know. I tried to look into it, but like the paperwork about it, this PDF, like the language, it's, you know, which is written so that people like me look at it and go, boring, and then just not look into it any further. But the bottom line is, the vape shop I go to, they can't develop their own flavors anymore, because they can't afford the license or anything. So they have to carry other people's products, prepackaged products. And I know that they're going The FDA is trying to go after, they say, go after fruity fluids and stuff, you know, to people that appeal to children. When it's, what it sounds like actually what it's doing is it eliminates small shops, but allows bigger companies like tobacco companies to produce their own stuff, continue to produce their own stuff because they can afford the licenses or something like that. Anyway, that's not really the thing. That, yeah, that did make me sigh because I was like, well, what do you have instead? You know, do you have any tobacco flavored? Because I don't want to taste fruity pebbles or whatever. I want something that tastes like a Marlboro cigarette. That's what I want. I want something to at least attempt to pretend to be cigarette flavored. And they didn't have anything, which I thought that was kind of strange. They had one. It was like, oh, this is a tobacco one. It's also, it's tobacco flavored, but it's also hazelnut and cream. Well, I tried it, and it tastes like you're vaping a Werther's original, like those, like, you know, those, like caramel. Like it's what? No, I'm not. It's like I'm having a dessert wine every time I fucking vape, and I just want, no, you know, daddy just wants his medicine. I don't understand, you know, it was just ridiculous. So I finally found another one, and I found another shop that's now going to be my new shop. Sorry guys, but I found a new shop that, like, yeah, we got the shit. This is supposed to taste like a Marlboro Red, and I got it, and it doesn't really, but it works. It's fine. It tries, and it doesn't taste like candy. That's the important thing. It doesn't taste like candy. It tastes like an adult vaping, whatever. Anyway, but here's the thing that made me sigh, is I went to the website because I wanted to find out more about the FDA regulation, right? And so I go to the website of the vape shop that I used to go to, and I say used to now because you guys don't fucking carry what I want. And that's fine. Sorry you're getting screwed by the government, but you also need, you know, I've got to have, you know, got to have my medicine. And there's a, they had, so the, this is the post, they, the post that they had was for the United Vapors Alliance, the UVA, and the symbol for the UVA, all right, are the letters UV and A, and the V has a black fist on it. Like the Black Panthers fight the power. And I'm like, all right, everyone, let's just calm down, white guys. And it's the UVA's call to action. And it gives this instructions on, there's like a link that you can go to that auto does this for you. Or you can call, it's the White House switchboard. And then your local representative's numbers, and you call them, and it's like this system that sets up that you can put in your number, whatever, call, and it auto dials and auto says, like, the and you're supposed to call and just say, we vape, we vote, and hang up. And we're supposed to be flooding the switchboard with, we vape and we vote. Guys, really? Are we still doing this? This is, I see this tactic a lot, and not just with vapors, where you got like a small message and you're supposed to call the switchboard and let's flood it. Let's call the number of your representative. All you're doing is annoying and making the life miserable of the person answering the phone. So somebody who gets paid the least amount in that office, or not at all, maybe they're an intern. But whoever answers the phone is not getting paid more than, they're definitely getting paid less than anybody else in that office or in that building. And you are fucking with that person. I'm like, oh, they've got to keep track of that. Yeah, but so what? The people in charge that make, they don't take calls. They don't take the messages. They have another person who looks at the messages and goes, well, I'm not going to give the representative any of this shit. Auto dials. Hey, representative, listen, just, or hey, president. Hey, president, a bunch of white dudes that like to vape are upset. No, they didn't mention their names. They just said that they vape and they vote. But I gotta be honest, I don't think they vote. I think they just sit around and vape. And then they talk about vaping. And they read vaping magazines. It's a shitty tactic. It's lazy. And I don't think it works. If anybody knows of one example of auto dials making a difference and making a representative go, you know what? This might be an issue. It's like signing a petition online. Could you do less? It's like, you know, a change.org petition. Okay. All right. Petitions, huh? It's like the petitions to get certain actors out of movies about wizards. All right. That seems to work. That was number one. Number two. On Heaviside Day. Number two. The Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma. I have not seen this. I know what it's about. But I'm referring to people who keep bringing it up on social media, because it's kind of a trending documentary. And they're like, you know, about how amazing it is and powerful and everybody must see this. But they're posting about it on social media in that fashion of, oh my God, did you see The Social Dilemma? Everybody look at me. I'm on the pulse. I've got my finger on the pulse. Don't forget, I told you about the Tiger King first. Oh my God, it's crazy, everybody. It's crazy. Anyway, The Social Dilemma, you guys. Did you know that social media isn't good for you? And the data mining, and there's, you know, capitalism, and whoa, man. Netflix, man. Yes. Yeah, I have not seen it. I don't need to. I mean, I might. When you guys quit talking about it, maybe I'll watch it. Because I've read books. There's an old book called Amusing Ourselves to Death. That was about television. But you can translate everything that was said. You could translate into, you know, the internet and social media stuff. And also there's, you know, people have been talking about it and posting studies about it. And there's just been books about it and about how they're designed to keep you addicted, like cell phones and Facebook and everything, to keep you addicted. So I don't, it's a little Johnny come lately to finally, it's like, oh my God, did you hear about this documentary? You know, it's like a documentary coming out. You know, we are going to tell you about this thing called the coronavirus. Oh, okay. Teach me. I haven't heard enough. Because, you know, I've been talking shit about, you know, Twitter and getting off of social media, especially now. So it's just funny to see people go, oh my God, you guys. Hashtag get off of social media. Hashtag like this, you know, like and subscribe. Because really, man, seriously, I'm really just, I think in addition to everything else that kind of tells you, you know, that's kind of telling you, like, hey, this isn't good for you. Like, just watching people lose their goddamn minds, people I know slowly lose their minds over this year, and, like, you can see them off center, like they're starting to spiral a bit, and you're like, unfollow. I don't know. It's just it already encourages you to use social media less and less. But just on top of that, just realizing that it's, you know, you don't have to, like, for me, the whole thing was, I'm, you know, maintaining a social media presence, pretending that that's helping your build your fan base of your podcast, or, you know, your career as you do comedy, John. You need to be on social media and let people know, get a bunch of people to follow you and keep posting the hilarious things, and people will keep following you and build that fan base. And it's just, after a while, especially with this, the, you know, the pandemic, I finally just kind of go, I don't give a shit. How about I just have the people that like me keep liking me and they keep following, and I'll just keep doing this every week. You know, for me, and hopefully it helps you and entertains you, kind of a deal. But I don't need to, I'm not that crazy about keeping up, you know, relationships with comedians if I'm not doing comedy. You know, if I don't do comedy anymore, stand-up comedy, whatever, why do I have to be nice to people that annoy me and are losing their goddamn minds and losing touch with any kind of reality? And you can see it and you're like, Jesus, go outside. You know, or just random people that you're like, why do I keep following this guy from high school who just now is now, you know, like, why do I keep reading this? Who is this? Did I work with this person? I did work with this person. When did I work? 2003. Holy fuck. Why do I keep reading their stuff? Like, it just, there's a whole lot of it that doesn't make any sense that we just keep doing. But that's fine. Anyway, yeah. Just a couple more and I'll let you guys go about your day. All right, number three is an email I got from my apartment company complex, the company that runs the apartments. All right. Dear residents, we have noticed an increase in furniture and other bulk items being left around dumpster areas around the community. This is a reminder that furniture dumping is strictly prohibited. Anyone reported to be dumping furniture may be billed back for our cost of removal. Guys. Not you guys. Apartment people. Apartment people, listen. The people that are dumping the furniture and the mattresses at the dumpsters, they do this at the end of every month. Why? Typically around this time. And why are they dumping the stuff? Because they're moving out. These are not residents who are not going anywhere dumping their mattresses. And their shelves that just, it's like, really? You held on to the entertainment center made of balsa wood? You held on to it this long? Was it, did you break it on the way down, or was this in your apartment broken, this thing that you got leaving? Do you have a TV sit on this piece of shit that you bought from Walmart? How old is this? No wonder why you're throwing it away, but why now? How long are you going to keep, like, that kind of stuff just being thrown away? Apartment people, these people are moving out. They don't give a fuck if you find out it was them. They're probably not even reading this email. They're probably already gone. They don't give a shit if you bill them. They will not pay you. All right. That was quick and painful. What was the final one? Number four. Oh, this one's just, this one's kind of related to the, because I keep mentioning how you don't hear about it as much because it's not trending. Because there's too much other shit going on. But I read this article because I'm interested in keeping up to see if there's anything, you know, going on with the opioid crisis. Obviously, because I have a vested interest in it. Clearly, you know, of course. But there's the problem is that this is the article. This is the top article of the week, or the past few days. Opioid epidemic poised to worsen with tidal wave of new stressors among the coronavirus pandemic. Experts warn. Yeah, that's that they, and that's the first, and that's the first sentence. The coronavirus pandemic threatens to unravel progress made in fighting. Progress made in fighting the opioid epidemic. Did we make any progress over the past couple of years? I don't remember us making any progress. There was more information sent out about fentanyl, and as things worsened, and they were trying to tighten it up, but, you know, were people getting help? Did they bring anything? Did they bring levels down? So I don't know what progress they're talking about that's unraveled. Anyway, that progress that they pretend that happened is unraveling. Brace yourselves, everybody. The pretend good stuff that happened is unhappening. Anyway, to unravel progress made in fighting the opioid epidemic as a tidal wave of new stressors confronts addicts and taxes already strapped healthcare resources, experts are warning. Great. I've mentioned this, and I just think that it's interesting that they took the time to write an article and go, hey, everybody, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the pandemic, along with unemployment and everything else going on in the world, are going to cause a lot more stress. And they're causing a lot of stress. And because of that, it's going to make drug addiction worse. So everybody be ready. Like it's going to happen. Like it hasn't been happening for the past 6 months. But they're just now writing an article, the Boston Herald. It's a major news. It's a major city. And they're going, hey, there might be financial problems coming. Thanks. Thanks, guy. Hey, everybody. I don't know if you know this, but in November, there's going to be an election and there may be a lot of disagreements going on. Thanks. That's called reporting. Appreciate it. This just in. Man. On the positive side is when all of these things that bug me today, with except, okay, the opioid crisis is serious, but like the article about it being useless, much like the person who wrote it. It's like, I've got to write something or I don't get paid. What can I report on without leaving my desk? All of that is just worth, you know, it's not that important and it's great. It feels good to just go, hey, fuck you, man. What are you doing? Thank you for making me feel smarter than I really am. Thank you for making me feel like I have my shit together, because clearly you don't. So thank you. Thank you to the UVA, the United Vapors Alliance. Thank you for your terrible ideas to combat legislation. People telling me about the Social Dilemma documentary. Thank you. Got it covered. But thank you for being ironic. The my apartment complex people. Thank you guys, dummies. And once again, thank you to the reporter from Boston who phoned it in today. Great job with that. You guys hang in there. I hope you're having a great week, or I hope you're having a comparatively good week. Stay sane out there. Stay sober if you're a sober person. Watch out for yourself. Watch out for each other. This has been the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. We'll see you next week. Later.